We're turning in our Bibles tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And reading at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then if you'll turn a few pages over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, reading at verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Let's look to the Lord again in prayer. Father, we thank you for the blessings we've had already, just to come to this place and to walk in and greet one another and those whom we will know and enjoy their fellowship throughout eternity. What a blessing that is to walk in the reality of that. The blessing we've had to hear these little children, to see their hearts turn toward you, to know that there is a very real ministry of prayer that we each need to be involved in daily. And we pray now as we open your word that you will instruct us and that you will magnify our Savior. And it's in his name that we ask. Amen. Well, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And you probably know that some of us last week met with Dr. Ron Beatty as he spoke to some of the local pastors and church leaders about the upcoming marriage amendment. It's going to be on the ballots in the North Carolina primary in May. And Dr. Beatty brought out something of the importance of this vote, and he warned of the challenge to our freedoms that are coming from the political arena. And a number of things that he said stuck in my mind, but particularly one thing. He said that when he first got into the ministry some 40 years or more ago, that he never could have even imagined that the day would come when we would be locked in this struggle of defining that marriage is between one man and one woman. Never could have imagined that. Well, these are the times that we live in. And the enemies of the Word of God are raging war against Christian values. The psalmist said in Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and let us cast away their cords from us. These are the times that we're living in. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also be the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And what was the world like? What was the world like in the days of Noah? Just how spiritually discerning were the people in the world in Noah's day? You know, it says in Genesis chapter 7 that all flesh perished. It says in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 21, all flesh died that moved on the earth, fowl, cattle, beast, every creeping thing, and every man, everyone in whose nostrils was the breath of life, all died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowls of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. God was about to destroy every living thing from off of the face of the earth, and people were oblivious to the impending judgment. Or they didn't believe it. Or they didn't even care. That's where we are today, because the judgment of God is about to fall upon this world as it did in the days of Noah. And most of the churches in this area and in this state, they're not on the side of passing an amendment in the North Carolina State Constitution defining marriage as between one man and one woman. They're not on that side. The churches. If you don't believe me, you just go up to some of the local area churches and do a little personal survey. Knock on the door and ask to speak to some of the leadership. You'll find out. And that's because they don't want to be branded as we often are, as intolerant, as judgmental, as denying people their rights and as some kind of a Pharisee. That's where we're at in America today. And I ran across an article. I think this came from USA Today just the other day. And this article, it just shows what the dumbing down of churches has, how that has happened. It's entitled Churches Cut Out Formalities. They don't want to be formal anymore. Churches don't want to be formal. And congregations crossed stained glass barriers to try to bring in a new flock. And a pastor from Florida, Ron Williams, he said the goal is to remove the traditional church setting. That's what we don't want, the traditional church setting. We want to remove that to make people feel more comfortable. Wear their jeans, wear their shorts, wear their biker gear. We don't want the tradition. A Florida Sanford native, Sandy Adcox, 38 years old, had not been to church in 18 years before she attended this pastor's church. She hasn't missed a service since she started attending. And she said, I've never in my life felt more comfortable in a church. That's what it's about. You give the people what they want so that they'll feel comfortable about themselves. And he goes on to say, we do a lot of things that are really different For example, they recently opened a tattoo parlor at their church. And here is a picture of the pastor with a big tattoo across his whole back with Jesus and his arms spread between us and God. And when you come in the church, you're greeted with coffee and donuts and the music of guitars. And they don't even want their building to look like a church. We did not want it to look like a church. Everyone is excited. Everyone cheers like they were at a basketball game. Now, when you come to the time when churches are turning out tattoo parlors and you wear your biker gear, they even have massage therapists that come and volunteer to give massages at the church. So when you've turned your church into tattoo parlors and you wear your biker gear and you get massages and donuts and coffee, and then you get these loud guitars and you get so excited that you're cheering like you're at a basketball game, well, I'm telling you, the chances are that you're still lost. You're probably in a worse condition spiritually than when you'd come there, because you're being deceived by seducing spirits. And you say, well, this is kind of far-fetched, isn't it? No, it's not. No, it's not. Not as much as you think. It's just the natural progression of breaking the bands and casting off the cords of the Word of God. This is where it all starts off, with just putting a set of drums up here and get the beat going. And then before you know it, it's not too long. You've got tattoo parlors and massage parlors right in the church, and you're cheering like you're at some basketball game. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And to get an accurate view of the perils, the dangers, the spiritual dangers of these times, I want to look at a couple of word meanings of these scriptures that we've read. In chapter 4 and verse 1 of 1 Timothy, the word expressly, that's an adverb that means in very plainly, very direct terms. When it comes to the last days and the perils, the dangers that accompany them, the Bible says that the Spirit of God is speaking very directly, very plainly. In other words, His message is a very plain message. I'm going to speak to you plainly and directly, the Spirit of God says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, and we're told in John 16:13 that the ministry of the Spirit of God, when He's come, is to show us the things that are coming. He's going to show us the things that are coming. He's going to guide us into the truth. He's going to very plainly and very directly reveal this great apostasy of the latter times, and the reasons why people are departing from the counsel of the Lord. He's not saying that there's no longer going to be churches. He's not saying that there's no longer going to be multitudes of people that attend these churches. He's not saying that the seminaries and the Bible schools are no longer going to be mass producing off of their assembly lines men and women and homosexuals and lesbians to fill the pulpits. He's not saying that. No, that's not where the shortage is going to exist. The shortage that the Spirit of God is saying is going to be in those who are standing four square for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And the Spirit of God is expressly declaring that the faith that's almost exclusively embraced and professed by the masses is not going to be the faith that's built upon the foundation of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to be that faith. Individuals have always been departing from the faith. Cain departed from the faith that his parents taught him when he became the first murderer. Groups have always departed from the faith. But the departure of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1 is speaking of something greater, something far greater. This is a defection from the faith that was once delivered into the saints that covers just about all of professing Christendom. That's where we're at. It's a defection of such a grand scale that even saved people are getting swept along in its wakes. Saved people becoming like Lot. Lot, right there among the wicked Sodomites, calling them his brethren. You see, there's a fierce fight that's being waged by the homosexual forces, and they're trying to impose by rule of law their perverted, wicked sodomy to be embraced by society. And Canada just made it illegal for homeschoolers to teach their children that homosexuality is immoral or wrong or perverted. And that is coming here. It's coming here. And you know, this war, it could easily, because there's not that many of them, it could easily be defeated and stopped in its tracks if only churches who name the name of Christ would militantly defend the Bible's condemnation of that kind of evil. But that's not going to happen. Pastors are not going to do it. Congregations are not going to do it. They're too busy playing sports, and they're too busy replacing their God-breathed, God-inspired Bibles with these watered-down versions. They're too busy with their contemporary concerts in their churches and their church trips to amusement destinations. No, this apostasy is so far advanced, it's so far widespread that many churches are now defending homosexuality. And if they're not defending it, then they're tolerating it like Lot did. These are the times we're living in. Times of universal departure from the biblical truths of the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. To depart. That means to just quit. Not quit going to church, quit the faith, quit to just go away from it. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. An apostasia, a defection from the truth. And again, it doesn't mean that the outward trappings of Christianity and religion are going to cease. Quite the contrary. Religion is flourishing on a mega scale. But it's a false system. It's a religion that will usher in the one world church headed by the Antichrist himself. It's an apostasy, a defection from the true biblical centered faith to a false humanistic based faith. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It's a grand, grand deception. It's a grand defection. Not from religion, but from the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord plainly warned us of this in the Kingdom of Heaven parables of Matthew 13. Like the mustard seed. That parable gives witness to what we're experiencing. From this tiny little seed, a great tree unnaturally grew. It's the great tree of professing Christendom, which now provides the place for all the fowls of the air to lodge. Every foul and unclean spirit, they're lodging in the great false one world harlot church, which is here. It hasn't reached its apex, but it's here. And the parables of the Lord in Matthew 13, they illustrate the course of this church age. In very plain terms, very direct terms, they describe the progression of the apostasy that's going to occur throughout this age, like the parable of the leaven. A woman mixing leaven, which is evil, with meal, the word of God, knowing that this leaven is going to rise until the whole is leavened. So the parable is telling us that the error that was first introduced by the false teachers during the days of the apostles is going to gradually, through the centuries, rise just like leaven does until in the last days the whole religious system is leavened. The ultimate fulfillment being the harlot church of Revelation 17. The unfaithful harlot church overflowing with all the false lovers. The love of self. Lovers of covetousness. Lovers of pride. And blasphemy. These are the things that spiritual harlotry produces. And all of this, which we very plainly, very expressly are shown by the Spirit of God, is how there's no question about it. These are the last of the last days. The whole is now leavened. The fowls of the air are lodging in the branches of the church. And the tares are all grown and mixed with the wheat. And so, what are the vast numbers of Christians doing about this? They're infatuated with sports, for one thing. This Sunday, this past Sunday, 20,000 people came to Canyon Ridge Christian Church in Las Vegas to see Tim Tebow.
One family even got to the church at 4 a.m. on Saturday morning because they wanted to be sure they were going to have their place there and be first in the line. You know, it wouldn't hurt a few folks in this church to leave the house 10 minutes early or 15 minutes early to get to Sunday school on time or to get to the church service on time. 4 o'clock in the morning they got to church on Saturday just to see Tim Tebow. And Christians are just playing ball themselves. Just Google, if you want to do something interesting, I did it today, just go to your computer and Google church sports leagues. 30 million hits came up. Now, I didn't have time to scroll through 30 million sites to see all about the church sports leagues. But I do know this, that many church people will miss the prayer meeting or other meetings, but they're not going to miss the time to play ball. And many Christians can also tell you what the latest points of their sports heroes are, but they can't tell you what the points were of the Sunday night sermon or the Wednesday night Bible lesson. But they can tell you the points of the latest of their sports heroes. In the Epistle of Jude, we're told to contend for the faith. Contend means to fight for it, to struggle for it, to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And in that passage, Jude is talking about the beginnings of New Testament apostasy that was in place in the days of the apostles. While the apostles were still on earth, Jude had to warn them and say, contend for the faith. But the defection now is so universal that the whole is leavened, as the Spirit expressly said that it would be. Churches, denominations, Bible schools, seminaries, publishing houses, Bible versions, Christian bookstores, the music, the parachurch organization. There's nothing outside of the tentacles and the grasp of this apostasy. The whole is leavened. And we're engaged in a struggle for the very faith, the faith that Jude is telling us about, that has been turned into a self-serving, man-centered, ungodly, leavened religion of lovers of pleasures. Paul had to write to the church at Galatia, the churches of Galatia, and say, I'm amazed at you all. I marvel that so soon you're removed to another gospel and another Jesus and another spirit. You see, the leaven can happen fast in the life of the believer. It happens fast. So soon removed from the gospel to another perverted gospel. The characteristics that produce this kind of apostasy are deception, seducing spirits. You know, there are demons and seducing spirits and demons that witnessed the fall of Lucifer. And I personally, I had a section in this message. I took it out, but I probably should have left it in. It was some Bible passages that supported the
the idea that all people are demon, all lost people are demon possessed. The Lord said in Ephesians about the spirit that is in, that was in us. And, you know, that's debatable. It's not Pastor Kelly used to teach that often. But, you know, what's amazing to me is how we can get around people that are not Christians. And there is a spirit in them. And it works subtly. And in most of them, it just convinces them to do their own thing. To don't get serious about religion. In others, it's more aggressive. They hate the word of God. But are we going to put our little minds up against these demonic forces that are in people and working through people? You know, most demons are some of the nicest people you will ever run into are just demon possessed. And all you got to do is start talking to them about the truth and start engaging their minds in the truth. And then the niceties will pretty rapidly dissipate. And the point that I'm making is that we're often engaging with people not aware that these demonic forces are just so subtly just sort of getting us to think a little differently about this or that, things of the Lord. And I'm not saying we should go around just so preoccupied with this that we're not effective for the Lord, but we do need to be aware of it. And I, you know, if you can prove from the Bible that lost people are not demon possessed, I'm open to hear it. But if they are demon possessed, you better be careful when you're around lost people and not, don't let your spiritual guard down because of the seduction of the last days. The sign of the last days is people giving heed to seducing spirits. And the spiritual seduction of the last days, I believe, is unprecedented in all church, in all this church age. A seducer is someone who's using the power of seduction to turn people away from the truth. And they're doing it in a seducing way that you don't even know about. A seducer is someone who turns people away from the form of sound doctrine. And these seductive spirits, they're just coming in every form imaginable. And what they do is they draw away professing Christians as well as carnal Christians without them even knowing that it's happening. They draw them away, a seductive spirit. John said in his epistle, chapter 2, verse 26, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." It was a problem in apostolic days. And we can't even imagine how much greater and how much more sophisticated this seduction has become today. Webster's, the old Webster's dictionary, defines seduction as to draw aside, to entice from the path of righteousness in any manner, to flatter, to promise, to bribe, to corrupt, or otherwise lead away from the truth.
The apostasy that began during the times of the apostles has very steadily grown through the centuries. John said, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists. The scripture tells us that there will be a singular future, singular Antichrist. But he's preceded by many Antichrists, plural. The Antichrist singular, that's the man of sin who's going to rule in the end time kingdom described in Daniel and Matthew and Revelation. The Antichrist plural is everyone who rejects the only faith, the only true faith that has come to us from heaven for the substitute of a man-made satanic deception. So the Antichrist is both a man and it's a system. It's one man, it's many men. And I want to leave you tonight with three important points to protect yourself. How you can protect yourself during these apostate, deceptive, seducing days. First of all, the last days are characterized by apostasy, not revival, by apostasy. So it shouldn't surprise us. That's what the Bible tells us. So it shouldn't surprise us then that we're meeting with such a vast amount of compromise and heresy. And if ever there was a time when the people of God need to be knowledgeable and cautious, it is today. And in 2 Timothy, we read evil men and seducers. Seduction is going to get worse and worse. Deception is going to get worse and worse. Paul talked about that they will no longer endure sound doctrine. And they're going to turn their ears away from the truth. That's what characterizes these days. We need to know that. Not just say, oh, yeah, I heard that in a sermon one time. Yeah, I read a book a couple of years ago. No, not like that. We need to know it daily, experientially, that those forces are coming at us. And the second thing we need to know that is going to help protect us is that God warns you that you better test everything by the scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. You know, it says that those were more noble in Thessalonica because they received the word with all readiness of mind and daily. They open their Bibles daily to search whether these things were so. John said, but don't believe every spirit. Test them. Test them to see whether they're of God, because many false prophets, you know, a false prophet is that's inwardly a ravening wolf is not going to come dressed like a wolf. They come to you in sheep's clothing. So if you want to protect yourself, you better be equipped and prepared to test and prove things by the Word of God. And thirdly, is to know that spiritual error, it always dresses up. Spiritual error dresses up with the appearance of righteousness and truth. It's seductive. It will deceive everyone who's not rooted biblically in the Word of God. Beware of false prophets, Matthew 7:15, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Paul told the Christians at Corinthians, I fear because I know that as certain as Satan beguiled Eve through his subtlety, that he's going to come and try to corrupt your minds. And I'm fearful of that. Second Corinthians 11, Paul said, they're false apostles. They're deceitful workers. They transform themselves into the ministers of Christ. And is that any marvel? Didn't Satan himself transform himself into an angel of light? Why should we be surprised that his ministers do the same thing? These are perilous times. They're dangerous times, spiritually dangerous. These are spiritually dangerous times. And we need to know that. We need to know that there are seductive spirits at work in your mind and heart, in your life, and in my life. Trying to just, it doesn't want us to just go join some apostate church. All those seductive spirits are after is just to take one step. Just one little compromising step in agreement with something that's not true. And then if you take that first step, then taking another step is easy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. And we thank you for the Word of God. We know the New Testament, and indeed all the Bible, but especially the New Testament, is filled with warnings and we know that you want us, Lord, to be a blessing to our families, the people around us. And so we don't want to become so introverted that we're just totally focused on the powers of darkness. But on the other hand, you don't want us to be caught unawares of this spiritual battle that we're in. And so we pray that you'll give us the right medium, the right understanding, that we might not trust in ourselves, but trust in the living God who is able to deliver us. And Father, we pray that you'll help us to be faithful to your word. And we pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen.